Roger Helvey of Soldotna retired from a 20-year career in telecommunications with ACS last October. He was looking forward to the usual retirement things: travel, more time with family, building a shed, maybe spending a little more time in the recliner than was best for him. His wife of 35 years, Jody, had plans of getting him a little more active for all the traveling and visiting and life they still had to spend together. Roger is only 59, after all. When COVID hit, they took it seriously. Jody is a retired nurse. They wore masks, practiced social distancing, washed their hands regularly, all the things you're supposed to do. But Roger is an extrovert. Isolation was starting to wear on him, and Roger thought it'd be okay to visit church one day. They'd stay separated and wear their masks. But Roger and the pastor got to chatting. Roger accepted a cup of coffee. He pulled his mask down to drink it. That was all it took. The pastor called a few days later to say there'd been an outbreak in the church. They both tested positive the second week of November. Jody had mild symptoms, but Roger felt pretty lousy for a week. Jody, the nurse that she is, monitored his vitals. Roger's oxygen level dipped below 90 on November 14th, so they went to the emergency room. Roger got a breathing treatment and antibiotics, and they were sent home. The next day, Roger got worse. They went back to the ER, thinking it'd be another in-and-out trip.
But the next day, I got really sick, started throwing up and all sorts of bad things. She pulled up, dropped me off at the ER, and went to go park, and that was the last I saw of her.
I'd heard of other people that were also sick that were getting treatments and being able to go home, you know, and back and forth. And I just thought, okay, we're going to beat this. And they ended up keeping him.
While he was still at Central Peninsula Hospital, Roger was awake and responsive enough that he could stay in touch. Visitors weren't allowed, so Jody did the next best thing over the phone.
He could text and he could FaceTime. I told him, okay, I'm going to drive to the hospital and I'm going to park in the parking lot and I'm going to sit and pray with you. And so I would get on there and he could talk a little bit at first. So we would do that and I would just, you know, I would say, okay, I'm here, you know, visiting you in the parking lot. It was pathetic, I know, but at least I thought, well, maybe it'll feel at least like I'm kind of there trying to visit him.
Roger's condition deteriorated quickly. On November 26th, he was medevaced to Anchorage to go on a ventilator. He went to Alaska Regional Hospital in the ICU. He had COVID pneumonia, blood clots, brain swelling, lung fibrosis, tachycardia, and other heart issues. He had a tracheotomy December 14th, cutting a hole into his windpipe from the front of his neck to insert a breathing tube. Roger had been sedated while on the ventilator, and staff were starting to bring him out of the coma, hoping he'd be able to start breathing on his own. On December 21st, his blood pressure dropped. The doctor called Jody and told her Roger wasn't doing well. Jody was finally allowed in the hospital to see him, as the doctors thought this might be the end. Roger, who was still a little out of it from the sedation, didn't realize that seeing Jody meant the situation was grim.
I remember a lot of that, bringing me out of my little weird dreams and stuff. And I do remember when she came in to talk to me, I was like, all right, this is great. And that wasn't what it was about. But
when I finally got to go in there with him, it was hard. I was so happy to be in there because I just wanted to hold his hand again. Just one more time. I just remembered when we were in high school. We're high school sweethearts. And I remembered the first time he held my hand, and I just thought, I want to hold his hand again. And I wanted to pray that prayer of salvation because I wanted to be with him again someday. And he looked bad. I didn't think he was going to make it.
Against all odds, Roger made it through that night. And the next one, and the next. He started to improve.
They kept saying, man, you were critically ill. I said, what do you mean critically ill? I said, was I like at death's doorstep? And he goes, dude, you had one leg in, the other foot was on a banana peel. He goes, I've seen people that are in better shape than you were die. He goes, we, you know, had no way believing that you were going to make it.
Roger had to learn how to do everything again. How to breathe, how to eat and drink, how to sit up, how to stand up, how to walk. Through it all, whatever the rehab team asked him to do, he pushed beyond it.
A lot of times they come in and say, what's your goals, you know, and a lot of people are like, I'm going to go do the Mount Marathon and all this other stuff. And mine was like, you know, I want to go to the bathroom by myself with no help, because I felt so bad for the nursing staff. And they were taking care of this old crusty guy sitting in there. But that, you know, just small things there. Once I got to that, then it was, I want to be able to get up and walk across the room. So all these were little, I want to be able to eat, I want to be able to do this. And when they asked me the first time to get something to eat, they said, hey, you know, what would you like to eat? And I said, I have no idea. I can't even imagine it. And so the lady goes, well, would you like a cheeseburger? And I just start crying. I was like, oh, man. That's kind of great. But.
Roger's original release date was April, but given his hard work and progress, he managed to get himself back home at the end of January. It's been a long, slow road since then, but he's continued to progress beyond what doctors expected. He finished his physical therapy appointment sprinting and pushing a 100-pound sled. He completed his last cardiopulmonary rehab appointment October 7th. Roger built that shed he'd been planning when he retired. Now he's got his eye on a wood shop in the basement. Retirement travel is off the table for now, and Jody still needs to keep his extroverted personality on a bit of a leash, calling off trips to the store or to dinner if a space is too crowded. Doctors warn if Roger gets COVID again, he won't survive. Roger and Jody are vaccinated, they wear masks, and are very careful not to get COVID again, and they certainly don't want to give it to anyone else. They don't get into the politics and debate surrounding the COVID vaccine, but they do say people should talk to their doctor when deciding what's right for them. Roger is more active now than he was a year ago, going for more walks, being more aware of his health, and more appreciative of the little things in life. And he tries to give back, spending time on COVID forums online, communicating with patients and families around the world, sharing his experience, and offering hope and support.
Just people and family in general, you know, just, you know, seeing folks out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, you don't really notice because you're so caught up in your own little world and all that. And all of a sudden, your eyes kind of open up when you're working with people and everything else, as there's a lot of pain and suffering going on out there and across the board on different things. And, you know, it's kind of, if you can help, great. You know, if not, pray for them. You know, that's helping a certain way.
Just be grateful. Look at the people you love right in that moment and just give them a hug. Tell them you love them.
That was Roger and Jody Helvey of Soldotna. You can hear more about their experience on next week's Kenai Conversation, 10 a.m. Wednesday, October 13th, rebroadcast at 5 p.m. Saturday, October 16th, right here on KDLL.